Spirit. A blessed Christmas time to all. Yes, this is the 12th day of Christmas, and this is one of those years where there is actually a second Sunday after the Nativity of our Lord. So you're still in the time of Christmas. Although, as the Holy Scriptures continue to be brought into your ears, as the greatest blessing that you could receive. So, within this Christmas time, as many are still aglow amidst their Christmas-inspired gifts, God's Word records the historical truth and reality of a Holocaust of babies, which follows the birth and flight by Christ's faithful listening parents. In the historic one-year lectionary, this exact same text is a sign for what is called the Feast of Holy Innocents Martyrs, which is observed every December 28th, just 3 days after the joyous celebration of the birth of our Lord. In this coming year of our Lord, 2014, the 28th falls on a Sunday. What a blessing it will be to celebrate that real feast. The creators of that same lectionary must have not have wanted to let anyone steer clear of this real-life text, but they also assigned it for the second Sunday after Christmas. What a great confession to the truth of God Almighty, whose truth of the Holy Scriptures isn't filled with fake, fluffy, make-believe stories that are told like folklore just to make you feel happy. No. The one true God of the Holy Scriptures is revealed as very real, taking on the flesh of mankind and being pursued in that flesh. To be killed. Joseph and Mary experienced real fear as they fled through the desert, looking back over their shoulders at what might be coming their way. Is anything still coming after them? Can you imagine for a moment what it would be like to be told in a dream to simply drop everything and move your family to Texas or Florida? For there are some who are searching to kill your children. Well, welcome to the world, Jesus. You're just born. Isn't it great? Oh, you'll really come to love all the sorrows and trials of life. So much so that you're going to want to stay here on earth and hang out. You're not going to want to leave this wondrous place, just like the rest of mankind, who gets so easily duped into believing that this world, with all of its idols to get lost in, is simply too nice to leave. Yeah, right. Tell that to the mothers of Bethlehem. Tell that to the addicts who cannot stop, for the homeless who cannot get help. Tell that to your broken and failing bodies. Tell that to those who you have sinned against, and those who have sinned against you. Fooling yourself through idolatry, putting on blinders, living fake life is not how all of that is dealt with. God knows your condition. He knows the fallenness of this world and the fallenness of every man's flesh. That is why he sent his son. And so, in telling Joseph to flee to Egypt, God compassion for you, yet again displaying his love for you, while displaying his humility and his meekness for you. God's plan of salvation was set before the foundations of the world were put forth by his words simply being spoken. So when Adam and Eve take what was their free will and put it into bondage of slavery by making it their will to be done, when original sin and all that would follow from that sin begins with the fall of mankind, God's beloved gospel was already in place, ready to be delivered through the promise to all of mankind immediately after the fall. That promise is revealed in Genesis 3:15. God's promise of a Savior from sin was delivered to create faith and sustain faith. It started at the beginning and remains the same today and will be forever. Now, this is said to point out and specifically focus your attention on this ever-important point: the understanding of how important it is to make sure that that promise of salvation is, by God-created faith, believed and covering you and your loved ones all the time. For no man knows the hour. Those mothers who had their baby boys ripped from their arms didn't know that that was the hour of their child's death. But my friends, the promise of Genesis 3:15 was already in place. It hadn't changed, and it will never change. All things in life are subject to change in the twinkling of an eye, except for the love of God through Christ Jesus. It has been there before the fall, after the fall, throughout the results of the fall, and will be to the end of time. Don't think that you are not being pursued in the likes of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus as a holy people set apart by God, believing and baptized by God's doing. You have targets on your foreheads and over your hearts, for that is where you were marked with the cross of Christ in the sacrament of holy baptism, marking you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Trials and suffering will beset you. Why? Why does God allow them to befall you? Because he's using evil. He is using the enemies of faith to strengthen faith. Sure, the world, your sinful flesh, and the devil aim at leading you astray more than you will ever know. Their aim is unbelief through various attacks. Pride rearing its head when your will isn't done. Jealous hatred experienced when your covetous desires are not met. Murderous anger conveyed or harbored when you are told that you need to change your thinking or actions, especially expressed or held against God or the one who speaks for God. People of God, please realize that the devil, the world, and your sinful nature aim you at satisfying yourselves through sinful self-centeredness. And those sins bring suffering. Also, as you are brought by God to flee of your suffering. He knows the hour of your death. But he has done something about it. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, sent into a world filled with the trouble of sin and death. For they are the very enemies he came to do battle with. And so he came into enemy territory to confront the enemies that seek to devour you and divide you from God. When Jesus came and how Jesus came was exactly as God planned, the plan he had set from eternity. Although the fullness of time had come, it was not yet time for Christ to fight. The time for fighting would come in another 30 or so years, officially beginning the fight the day he stepped into the Jordan River to be baptized. And that fight would take him into the wilderness of temptation, into the cities filled with rejection, among the tax collectors, lepers, and sinners, among those who considered themselves righteous, and finally to a death, a crucifixion. It is a battle Jesus would not run away from, the very battle he came to fight. But not yet. It was not yet time to fight. Now it was the time for flight. And so the angel tells Joseph, and Joseph fulfills his fatherly duties to protect his family and flees to Egypt. Jesus goes to Egypt not just for refuge, but as Matthew proclaims by quoting the prophet Hosea, he goes there to join you, to retrace the steps that his people have taken. And so his going to Egypt is a small picture of what he has now come to do, to join you in your world, your land of slavery to sin, but to lead you out into the promised land of heaven. As the prophet Isaiah was brought to proclaim, in their affliction he was afflicted. The angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. And not just the days of old, but even now. Christ is lifting you by being lifted up for you. Christ is carrying you by carrying your sins for you. Christ is saving you by dying and rising for you. And that is why he came. Although the enemies of faith pursue you, God pursues you all the more. At just the right time, he came. At just the right time, he fled. At just the right time, he fought. The Lamb of God came to take away the sins of the world. And now that same promise from the beginning of time finished through his merits for you, he delivers unto you through his word and his sacraments, constantly feeding you with himself, constantly keeping you fixed upon him and in him who is your life. As God feeds you with his word and sacraments, he is focusing you on Christ crucified. You know, there's, I got to the break. There's a great part of a Bono quote from a Live album. You know what he says to the crowd when he's talking to the crowd about something serious? feeds you with his word and sacraments. He is focusing you on Christ the crucified. And in so doing, one of the hardest parts of faith is gained. Listen up. God's will is accomplished through suffering. When you are brought to look to the suffering and death of Christ Jesus, as Christians, you are called to believe that suffering in your lives is a sign that you are joined to Christ's sufferings, and that through such suffering, God accomplishes his greatest work. And that is why St. Peter exhorts you, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, in that you may rejoice also and be glad when his glory is revealed. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. That is God-created faith. Suffering and struggling in the midst of repentant belief. Faith being brought to do good. For as Luther puts it, where faith is, there is necessarily good works. Don't even look for them. For God will bring both upon you to take place. Friends in Christ, our Father knows the hour of your need. He knows the hour of your suffering. He knows the hour of your death. But he does not leave you alone in it. He sent his only begotten Son to take it upon himself and conquer it for you. The blessed words of the hymn of the day are not depressing because they are not fake and fluffy. They are real words that bring you to sing, pray, and confess the truth of the real God who knows what you are going through. When aimless violence takes those we love, when random death strikes childhood's promise down, when wrenching loss becomes our daily bread, we know, O God, you leave us not alone. When passing years rob sight and strength and mind, fail to still a strongly beating heart, and grief becomes the fabric of our lives, dear Lord, you do not stand from us apart. Our faith may flicker low and hope grow dim, yet you, O God, are with us in our pain. You grieve with us and for us day by day, and with us sharing sorrow will remain. Because your Son grew our new agony and loss, felt desolation, grief and scorn and shame, we know you will be with us come what may, your loving presence near, always the same. Through long grief, darkened days, help us, dear Lord, to trust your grace, the courage to endure, to rest our souls in your supporting love, and find our hope within your mercy sure. Oh, if the mothers of Bethlehem would have had such a blessed hymn that confessed the finished promise of Genesis 3:15,